Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go. Yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
All right, good afternoon, good evening, Arizona sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. You know, last week, this time, myself and my guests were sitting on the show, and we were talking about who we thought was going to win the NCAA title game between Butler and UConn, and we were pretty confident that Butler was going to pull it off. We thought for sure Butler was going to get their championship because they had the experience. I mean, for Christ's sake, they were there the year before, and they had done everything up to that point to show that they had a team that belonged and they had returners, and we all were pretty sure that that's exactly how it was going to go down. And later on that night, the Butler Bulldogs went cold. They couldn't throw. They couldn't. If they were sitting in a boat trying to fish, they couldn't put the hook in the water. That's how bad it was. They just couldn't hit anything. And so Bulldogs ended up losing. But, hey, you know what? Here's the thing. I look at that game last week, and you got to look at it from this perspective as well. I mean, nobody knew that they would be as cold as they were that night. I mean, come on. And that happens with teams. But the fact that it happened in the biggest game of the year for them was a very sad situation. But at the same time, as bad as they played, from a coach's perspective, I look at it, they still were in the game all the way up until the end, down by 12. Hey, if I'm down by 12, all I need is a few shots to drop, and I'm all good. So they were in the game. Now, imagine Butler having a normal shooting night. UConn would not have raised the trophy at the end and cut the nets, and Calhoun would not have his third championship title. But, you know, hey, that's why we play the game. Now, if you want to participate in today's show, you can give us a call at 888-346-9144. And, you know, we've been talking about college basketball now since the start of the tournament. We've had people talking about different teams. We've had conversations about some of the hot coaches in the mix. I mean, you got Shaka Smart. You got Brad Stevens. Those are just two of the names that come to mind when you start talking about hot young coaches. And today, we're actually going to interview a hot up-and-coming coach on the women's side of the basketball. That's right. We're going to the ladies' side of the game, and we're going to take a look at a program in Florida at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And we're going to have a conversation today with Clarice Garcia, the head women's basketball coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And she is the youngest head coach in the nation. So we're going to talk to her. We're going to talk to her a little bit. She's a former player. Now she's a head coach, and we're going to talk to her about her playing days. We're going to talk to her about her journey to the head coaching seat, the long journey that she took from going from coach to player. And we're going to get some insights from her as to what her program looks like, what the school she's at looks like, and maybe we can talk a little bit about the girls' Final Four, because that was some good basketball being played on the girls' side of the bracket as well, and the surprise championship, and we'll talk a little bit about that. I want to welcome to the show today our featured guest. We're going to spotlight. See, this is what we do. Every now and then we spotlight a program. Never before have we spotlighted a college program, but we're going to start doing that. We've kind of done that here in the last several weeks with Phoenix College and with South Mountain Community College. And so now we're going to spotlight a big-time program in Florida. Let's welcome to the show Clarice Garcia, head coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University. Welcome to the show, Clarice.
Hi there, Coach. It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you were able to make it. You know, the tagline that you are the youngest coach, youngest head coach at the college level, definitely caught my attention. Let's talk about that. How old are you?
You should never ask a woman her age, but I'm going to be 25 for life. So I'm sure all these wonderful researchers out there can look up my player profile, check my birth year, and then do the math. But I'm just going to be 25 for life. Yep.
I already did all that. And you know what? It's all now a matter of public record.
Oh, absolutely.
When you become a head coach, everything is out in the open.
I know. Well, it's funny because I was at a coaching clinic this past weekend, and I was talking to Coach Tubby Smith, and I was telling him, you know, about my career, and he said, well, how old are you? And I said, you're not supposed to ask that. And he's like, oh, my bad. That's right. He's like, I'm sure I could research it, though. So.
That's right. It's out there. So, you know what? I think that it's great that that you have, at such a young age, kind of jumped in and become one of those hot young coaches. I mean, you know, you talk about a guy like Shaka Smart and Brad Stevens and those guys on the guy side of the ball. They're the new hot, you know, commodities. And what we're doing right now is we're looking at a coach, guys, that in the next several years will be like a Shaka Smart and a Brad Stevens on the women's side of the basketball. Now, after talking with her, I'm going to tell you right now, the passion is there. The knowledge sounds like it's there. So now it's all about putting in the time. So now let me ask you this question, because you just stopped playing a few years ago. I mean, we're going to get serious here. You just stopped playing a few years ago. For those of you who don't know, Clarice was at Villanova University. She's a Wildcat. She played for Villanova University Division I basketball. Let's talk a little bit about your playing career.
Well, I actually, you know, found the school late. I had narrowed my choices down to Brown, Syracuse, and Villanova, and at the time they had given away all their scholarships for that year. So I contacted the coach and said, hey, you know, I'm very interested in your program. What do you have left? What are the options for the recruitment? And, you know, they said, we've given away all our scholarships, but if you're interested in a walk-on position for the first year, you know, you can come do that. So I packed my bags with a dollar and a dream, and I worked my butt off in preseason and was able to, you know, through that preseason, prove to them that I should be there, and earned a spot on the team. And then first day of official practice freshman year, I tore my ACL, blew my ACL out, and was out for the rest of the season. So, you know, they,
oh, no.
Yeah. So I everyone looks at me and they're like, "Who does that?" And I don't know, apparently I do, but I think honestly it was probably the best thing that could have happened, because I was still able to complete my playing days, you know, at Villanova after I rehabbed. But that year ended up turning into what was, you know, considered a redshirt year, and I was able to learn so much, because, you know, just sitting there watching my teammates go through plays, you know, listening to my coach and the pointers he would make and things like that, it really helped me get a mind for the game and start thinking strategically. So
now here you are, a freshman, you get injured, and you're having a redshirt. I'm sure that kind of broke your heart a little bit.
It did. It was a little disheartening, but I know everything happens for a reason and God's in control, and so I wasn't too terribly disheartened, but you know, I used it for my advantage. I was able to work on fundamentals. My shot got better because all I could really do was form shoot. So I shot the nets out of the one basket in the one gym. So.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about the sophomore year. So you're done your freshman year. You're kind of injured. You go into your freshman year as a red shirt. You're learning a lot. You're picking up the D1 game, because the D1 game is no joke.
No, it's very, and the interesting thing is that, you think you can prepare for it after your high school year, before your freshman year. You know, I worked my butt off. I'm running miles. I'm doing sprints, you know, conditioning, getting myself in the gym, trying to do game speed shots. But there's really no true way to prepare for it because you don't know exactly what to expect. And when you get there, it's just, it's every bit as intense as everyone warns you about. So it's just a whole different level of competition and mentality.
Well, and you just went to a small league, too.
Yes.
You didn't go to a big league.
No, and I, yeah, and, you know, not only that, you know, I'd come from a high school that had about probably 300 kids, 9 through 12, graduating class of like 70. And, you know, so Villanova's not a big school size-wise. I think there are about 6,000 people there. So it was definitely different in that respect. But even though it's a smaller school, you know, sports-wise, it's remarkable. And so it was just, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I picked a small school, but then the athletics there were definitely, you know, up there with respect to levels of competition. I mean, you've got UConn in that conference, so you know you've got to be on top of your game. So.
Yeah, and UConn at the time wasn't very good.
What, no, they were, they really haven't been good over the past 10 years, you know, really have done much.
Struggling program, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, they've been rebuilding, you know, hopefully they're looking to make it to the NCAA tournament at some point, you know.
Yeah, yeah, wow. So now you go into your sophomore year. Talk about that a little bit.
It was good. One of the things, you know, about being a walk-on in programs like that, a lot of times, you know, politics play, you know, come into play, and, you know, you don't get as many minutes as you might if you were a recruited scholarship player, but, you know, you're still there to push your players, push your teammates every day, you know, because if you don't bring it every day, they're not going to get better, and you're not getting them ready for, you know, playing against the UConns, the Rutgers, Notre Dame. So anyway, I rehabbed my knee back and ended up having to get it operated on again in December. So I had quite the career of operations, I guess you could say. So.
Okay. Now, see, this is good because now we're getting a perspective. And see, it's great because we get the perspective from the guy side of the ball a lot. Now we're getting it from the women's side of the ball. And so for the ladies that are listening, it's good that they're hearing how, even if you don't get recruited, the fact that you pursued Villanova.
Right.
And you walked on.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a great career there. And then now look at where you're at. So, I mean, it's great because it's a great story that needs to be heard.
Right. And I think the overall premise of my life has been, one of my life philosophies is the world belongs to the aggressor. And it truly does, because if you're not going after something that you want, then someone else is going to go after it harder, and then they're going to get it because you've now missed out on that opportunity. And so, you know, that's just how I've always lived my life. I've been very goal-oriented, and you'll see that in our program, the things that I have the kids do, you know, writing out goals. For example, they're meeting tomorrow on our goals for next season, and then we're going to sit down as a team and go over what we want for next season. So it's just something that I've done in my life, and then it's now carried over into how I coach my teams.
Okay. So now your junior year, you're healthy again, you're ready to rock and roll, ready to play, and, you know, you go through the next 2 years injury-free?
Slightly. I did. See, now people are going to think I'm accident-prone, but I ended up with stitches junior year and a broken nose senior year. So, but other than that, I was great.
You're aggressive. You were in the mix, getting in there, getting your nose broke. That means you're aggressive.
I was on defense. I was beating my teammate to the spot, and she just kind of didn't expect me to get there. I don't know if it was I think it was a charge, and she just mowed me over. And so it's all part of the game. I used to love, you know, when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I went to a showcase event over the one weekend, and I came back to school Monday with a black eye, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So
it's funny because the Big East basketball is very physical on both sides of the ball.
Yes.
On the women's side of the ball and the men's side of the ball. A lot of people don't realize basketball is a physical sport.
It is. And I know it's not technically classified as a full contact sport because football would be considered that, you know, in talking to an athletic trainer. But it is very much a physical sport. Like, I know I can't run out there and tackle someone, but golly, you are bumping, you're going in the lane up against people, you know, you're getting pushed around on offense, you're jockeying for position to get rebounds. So it is every bit as much as physical. A couple of my teammates and I would bruise periodically, and other teammates would say, man, y'all look like bruised fruit.
All right, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break. On that note, we'll come back after the break. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We're being joined right now by Coach Clarice Garcia from Palm Beach Atlantic University. We'll be right back after these commercials.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andre S. Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and we're joined right now by head coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University, the women's coach, Clarice Garcia. And, you know, it's funny because as we went to break, I got a tweet from a fellow coach going, come on, coach, why are you asking the age? Hey, look, guys, you can't have the tagline of the youngest coach in the country without somebody wanting to ask how old you are. So I just asked. But okay, I won't ask that question again. Don't beat me up. All right, so here we are. We're back. We're done with the playing days. Now, for those of you who missed, Clarice is a University of Villanova, former Wildcat basketball player, Division I. After she got done playing basketball, you wanted to be a coach right away, or no, you didn't want to be a coach right away, right?
I did not. I actually had people in college ask me, you know, hey, are you ever going to get into coaching? And I said, absolutely not. Because at the time, my career goal was to move Linda Cohn off the desk at ESPN and be the next best thing on ESPN SportsCenter. So that was my driving passion goal. You know, I'm going to be the next best. I think this was before Erin Andrews. So I was really supposed to be Erin Andrews, and she doesn't know it. So I'll let her do her thing, and I'll let her report on the news for now, and I'll continue making it. But
right.
But anyway, so, you know, in the process of getting there, you send out audition DVDs and just network and things like that. So I had gone home back to Pittsburgh and was, you know, in the process of sending them out. And I actually was involved in a head-on collision. Some guy came around a bend in my lane and hit me head-on. So that summer, I spent the whole summer rehabbing, couldn't walk for like a month, just a long, long trying time. And went to the Pitt basketball camp because one of the girls I used to babysit for was, you know, participating. And so I was able to reconnect with the coach there, Coach Baronato. And so we were talking, and she said, what are you going to get into? And I told her at the time, and now that I'm in the coaching profession, this is absolutely absurd that I would have applied for this, but I had applied for a position on the men's side as a video coordinator because I figured, you know, in college I do video breakdowns, I produce my own stories, everything communication video related. So why not? I would be perfect for the job. But now that I'm in the profession, men don't hire men, or men don't hire women, and it's just something that they would hire a big-time person for it, not someone coming straight out of college, because it's really a important part of the staff. So anyway, so she said, well, you know, send me your resume, and I'll walk it into Jamie Dixon, and we'll see what happens. And nothing, you know, after 2 weeks I didn't hear anything. And so then she called me about 2 weeks later and said, hey, you know, my best friend coaches at a D2 school in Pittsburgh. She used to be the head coach at the University of Miami in Florida for like 17 years. You know, she's up in the area, took over this program, and he's a grad assistant. And, you know, just knowing you and your passion for the game, I think it's a good way to keep yourself around the sport. And so until that point, I had never, ever thought of it. And she was really the one that put the idea in me, and then she got me in contact with Coach Labate. And after that, you know, I got to the campus, fell in love with coaching and the team and everything, and I said, this is exactly what I'm meant to do. So definitely a roundabout way of getting into it, but I'm just happy that I was able to, and I'm indebted to her and Coach Labate for, you know, believing in me and trusting me to hire me. So
now your first job was a grad assistant position?
It was, yeah. It was a grad assistant position, but it was not grad assistant position typically has the connotation, okay, you get coffee and you check emails and you rebound. But the amazing thing about Coach Labate is that she really let me be hands-on in every aspect of the program. I mean, I was doing everything from recruiting to game planning, on-court development, budget proposals, scheduling, those sorts of things. So she really just, you know, she let me run it. And, you know, obviously she's the head coach, but she just let me get my hands in everything. And so that's really where I grew in 2 years as a coach, and I was able to, you know, get my MBA, but then gain invaluable experience that's really set me up for having my own program today.
Okay, so now you were at Villanova at first, correct?
Yes. So I graduated 07. See, now I'm going to date myself. Okay, so I graduated 07 in, I guess it was May, and then I took the coaching position in August of 07.
Okay, and then you went to, was it Seton Hill?
Yes, that was my first school.
Okay, so Seton Hill was your first school, mm-hmm. And then after your Seton Hill experience, where'd you end up?
Well, after that, I was actually honored as the National Grad Assistant of the Year. And so that really was something helpful on my resume, which helped me get to my next school, which was Stetson University. And they were they're a Division I school in the Atlantic Sun, or in the Atlantic Sun Conference, and was able to get connected with the coach over coffee in July. She was looking for an assistant, and I was looking to move up in the world, and so it just kind of clicked and worked out. And it had been the second time that I had not looked at not been to the school physically and taken an assistant position. So.
Okay. So now this is 2 years in as a coach, correct?
Yes. So, yeah, after my 2 years as a grad assistant, I was able to become the recruiting coordinator and top assistant at a D1 school.
Okay. Now, I mean, I hope you guys are paying attention to this, because this is like there is no dust settling on this woman. She is a fast-moving machine. And if you get in her way, woo-woo, you get run over. See, she has moved from graduating college to an assistant coach in 3 years. Okay? Now, okay, so here's where the insanity happens. A head coaching job opens up.
Right.
And you've been coaching for how long?
And I had just finished my third year as a coach, two as a grad assistant, one as a top.
Okay, wait. She's been a 3 year coach. A head job opens up. Now, okay, first off, I have to ask, what made you apply for a head job?
Well, excuse me. The funny thing is that I wasn't even looking. Every year I go to the Final Four, you know, to network and everything, and I look at the coaching changes that are occurring so that you don't run into someone that you know, and you're like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, oh, I got fired, or, hey, I got a job. So you want to be able to either congratulate them or, you know, say, hey, you know, I got your back. If I hear of anything, I'll let you know. So I'm scrolling through the list of job openings, and I see, you know, the listing for Palm Beach Atlantic, and I said, oh, this is kind of cool. So I click on the thing, read the description, browse the website, and see that it's on the ocean. It's basically on the intercoastal, mile from the beach, Christian school, you know, up and coming athletics department, and just really do some research on it. And there was just something, you know, how you kind of get that little quickening in your spirit. You're just like, oh, this is really cool. When I read the description, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, this is really tailor-made for me. And I applied for it, and obviously it was where I'm meant to be. You know, God opened the door for me to get here, and so I'm here now.
And see, you know, here's the funny thing, because I know coaches who haven't applied for jobs or won't apply for jobs. Well, you know, I don't know. They're looking for somebody with more experience. I'm sure somebody else with more years in the job is going to go. And yet you just went for it.
I did. And, again, it's that world belongs to the aggressor mentality, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's, you know, just overall encompassing. But the thing is, you know, like you said, I'm thinking, who am I to go apply for this position? Because, one, I've only been a coach for 3 years, and you know, I know for a fact in talking to coaching friends, they're telling me that assistant coaches, associate head coaches from BCS schools are applying for it. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, great, there we go. They're going to hire some big-time coach and cool and everything. So,
wow. See, and this is having a goal and moving towards your goal and all the obstacles. You know, in Napoleon Hill's books, he states that, you know, the world moves out of the way of a person with a goal in mind.
Oh,
so
I love that
quote.
As
you start to move towards your goal, things get out of the way and doors open for you that normally wouldn't open.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, one of the things with it is, you know, I applied for it, and then I actually drove down to meet the athletic director in person just to hand in my resume. And so we had a quick impromptu exchange, and he said, hey, you know, leave the end of, I think it was April, he's like, leave the middle to end of April open because we're going to bring you back for a formal interview. So I said, all right, cool.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I mean, if you're not paying attention to the story, girls, and guys, both, if you're not paying attention to the story, this is an athlete who was not recruited to play basketball at the Division I level and went to a D1 school and said, I want to play for you. Ended up on the team for 4 years, then didn't want to coach, ended up coaching and saying, wow, I guess I'm supposed to be here. And then found a job that she wanted and said, you know what, I'm going after. It doesn't matter who else is going after it, it's mine. And now she's the head coach there. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk about Palm Beach Atlantic University. We can talk a little bit about the program before you got there, how long the program's been in existence, mm-hmm. the school itself, and kind of give it, you know, give us a lay of what it's like to be at the D2 level, because you're not going to be there long. I'm just telling you right now. You know, you're not going to be a D2 coach long. Somebody's going to snatch you up, aww. And you're going to be big time. And I'm going to say, I knew her when. This is the Coach's Corner, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after the break.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome to Inside the Trenches, everyone, the interactive show that is sweeping across the nation here on Voice America Sports Simply with your host, 12-year pro football veteran, yes, of course, the voice of America, R. Cal Trula. We're bringing it to you today, starts at noon, and so does Inside the Trenches, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, bringing you the ins and outs, letting you know what's going on in and around sports and also in and around your neck of the woods. So if you want to be on the show and you want to be a part of the show, simply go to InsideTheTrenches.com and let's make this thing happen for you, the interactive show that is sweeping across the nation. Inside the Trenches, your show.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, so welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and we're being joined right now by Clarice Garcia, who is the head women's basketball coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And we're not going to talk about Palm Beach Atlantic University, and she's going to kind of give us a feel for the program that she took over. The school has been in existence since the 60s?
Yes, in 68. Yep, so it's a young institution.
All right, and now your basketball program, or the program itself, hasn't been around that long. How long has the program been in existence?
Well, I'm looking at the all-time rosters. The latest I've seen it date back is 81, so that's 20 years now. And in that time, they've made the transition from an NAIA school to an independent Division II school. And then also in that time, in the women's basketball program, they have yet to have a winning season. And I always say, enter me. But they haven't had a winning season yet. And I'm not sure how. I mean, we have awesome facilities. We have great support from the president down. Great location. So, you know, I know we're a Division II school and you're always looking for funding. But I know personally I will never be limited by resources. If I don't have them, I'll go get them. So I think that's where it's just a different mind shift now. And so,
okay, so now, but wait, before we go on, because I want to ask you,
sure.
You brushed over it real quick. Mm-hmm. Now, you're a D2 independent school.
Yes.
Which means that you're not affiliated with any particular conference, correct?
Correct, yes. So what that means, so what that means for us is that we are a Division II institution. Like you said, we're not affiliated with a conference. So that means for us, and I know we're going to get to this a little later, but obviously for us, we have a overall program goal to win a national championship at the at our level, at the Division II level, so a national Division II championship. So for us, that means that within the eight regions that make up the Division II areas for the 64 teams, there are eight teams that go from each of those eight areas. You know, you'll get your automatic bids through the conference champions, and then the other remaining ones are at large through the being ranked in your region. So they'll take eight teams from each region. And so us being as an independent school, we have to play teams so that we have, you know, a ranking in our region. And so for us, you know, that means...
In your region, what do you mean by in your region?
In our region, because there are eight regions in Division II basketball. And so, for example, for us, it would include the Sunshine State Conference, the Peach Belt, the other few conferences that border our state. So I believe ours is the South region. It's either South or Southeast.
Okay.
I believe it's called the South region, though.
Okay.
So for us, that means in order for us to have a schedule that will even qualify us to be considered, you have to have 18 in-region games, you have to have 22 Division II games, and then 26 total games. So those four remaining games can be Division II, NAIA, Division III. For us, we're going to do Division I because you got to play the best to be the best. So.
Okay, so now let's talk about your schedule, because you guys had 28 games this season, I think it was.
We did, yeah, because we had 20. Yeah, we had 26, and then a couple up in D.C. for the National Independent Tournament. So one of the craziest things when I first got here, and even looking at last year's schedule, and nothing against NAIA schools, nothing against Division III schools, they're just not going to help us in strength of schedule in having those 18 game requirements, the 22 D2 ones and then the 18 in region ones. So when I got here, there were probably like 10 NAIA teams or games scheduled. And so I had to go through and when I got hired in May, cancel all of those games and, you know, rush to find Division II ones so that we could even be competitive for a national championship. So it took a lot of work, but I was able to, you know, get our 22 game requirement.
Okay, so now let's look at something here, because this is something that in listening to you lay this out, there's going to be a significant shift at Palm Beach Atlantic University basketball wise, and it's going to happen in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you guys to understand this. I said this right now, April 11th, 2011, in 2 years. Palm Beach Atlantic University is going to be a tournament-bound team under this coach.
Amen.
It's because what she just did with the schedule itself. Now, let's looking at the schedule over the last several years, Coach, because I did some research on it.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't doubt that.
you know the program hasn't been very successful. It was 1-26 in 2007-2008.
Yes.
They came back the next year, and they were 13-18 in 2008-2009. Now, their schedule wasn't very strong.
No, and that's, I'm glad you point that out, because, again, it's against NAIA schools. And nothing,
right.
And I'm not knocking, I so appreciate all levels of the game, but in understanding where we who against whom we have to compete, that's not going to help us, you know.
So then in 2009-2010, the schedule, the school's record was 6-18.
Yes.
And then this year, moving your record up, you made your schedule tougher than it had been in the previous 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You guys put eight wins on the books with 20 losses, but you put eight wins, which is two more wins than you had than they had the last year,
mm-hmm.
with an easier schedule.
Yes.
Okay.
This
is why I say this program is going to see significant gains in the next 2 years with Coach Garcia at the helm, because she's doing it the right way.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate that. I always say from your mouth to God's ears, that's would be awesome, because like I said, our overall program goal with respect to basketball is to win a national championship. And I think you and I had talked about this earlier, but one of the neat things is that our team, you know, in scheduling the D2 opponents, as scheduled, I think at the time we have maybe three ranked teams in our schedule from last year, and one of those being Clayton State, who, congratulations to them, ended up winning the national championship this year.
Right.
And so the neat thing about that game was that we went to Clayton State, had just played Columbus State the day before, played these two teams back-to-back, and we had lost by six to Columbus State, and then, coming in the next day, playing Clayton State, who I think at the time was ranked like sixth or seventh in the country.
Did you point out that you only lost by six to Columbus?
Yes.
It was the score was 56-50.
Yes.
And it was on January 2nd.
Yes. And so, the very next day, so we played at 1 o'clock on the 2nd and then Clayton State at 1:30 on the 3rd. And we, you know, my kids battled. I think we were leading by one at the half, and then we competed. We were either tied ahead or a point or two behind them for the first, like, 36 minutes. And then with my seven kids, we just completely ran out of gas in those last five because they were subbing in. I think they went 12 deep that game with kids getting anywhere from 12 on up minutes-wise. So it was pretty exciting. And the thing about my team that is awesome is that during the championship game, they're all texting me like, Coach, we competed with this team. Like, if this is the team that won the national championship, we're there. You know, we got this. We can compete. And so now they believe. Now they can compete, but now it's beyond that. Now they have to continue that and do the actual winning now. So.
Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned the fact that you only had seven or eight players this mm-hmm. year on your roster.
Yes.
First off, the Clayton State game, I mean, to be that close and that competitive with a team that's been established, because they've been a very tough team for many years now.
Absolutely, with their press.
To be in that game for the first year, having turned your schedule around. And, I mean, if you look at some of these games, you had some very good games that you guys competed mm-hmm. tough in. I mean, you had a one-point loss to Flagler College.
Yeah.
You had a two-point loss to Lynn University.
Mm-hmm.
You had some very tough games. And what people don't realize, I know all the coaches who are listening realize this and know this, when you take a program over, the first piece is getting the kids to understand that they can compete.
Yes. Absolutely.
And the only way you can do that is to put the kids in the situations where they're in two-point games, four-point games, mm-hmm. six-point games, and they can now see, okay, yeah, we can be in these games.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it starts to click. And it did click for you at the end of the season when you put together a string of, what, five or six wins in a row.
Yes, my girls battled the whole season. And the wonderful thing about them is that if you came into practice or if you talked to any of them, the team morale was so high the entire time, because usually when you're losing, everything is amplified, you get problems. But accolades to them, they are probably the closest-knit team that I've coached and the hardest working. And so all of that came into play, and so they finally were able to put it together, you know, like you said, to go on that five-game win streak and go up to the University of District of Columbia, and as a five seed, win the National Independent Tournament Championship.
Yeah, see, I mean, is there any reason why, there's no way you can question what I'm saying when I say that this program is going to make a huge turn under the guidance of this coach right here, because if you look at what's happening already in the first year, there's been some significant gains and some significant shifts, and you know what? It was easy for the athletic director to hire her after spending some time talking to her. I can see that. There's no way he thought, I'm giving it over to a young person who may or may not succeed. It was probably a very easy choice. And after listening to her today, you should become a fan of this coach, and you should become a Palm Beach Atlantic fan. And I know I am already.
Thank you.
After talking with you the last couple of times, I'm a big fan, and I'm going to pay attention to your career for a long time. So, Coach, tell us this. Now, your university, let's talk about the university a little bit, because you guys have just under, what, 3,700 students?
Yes. About that size, yes.
Yeah, so it's a small university. And now, do you teach classes at the university, or you just coach?
I don't. I coach, and I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to have undivided attention to my team.
Now, see, that's a great situation because now that even tells me a little bit more about the direction that the program is going to head, knowing that you're not having to split duties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of your players.
Sure.
Okay. So let's talk. So you, I know you wanted to get, you know, get some of their names and stuff out there because of the work they put out this year. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll just talk about a couple quick players, and then we'll wrap it up because I cannot believe how quick this hour has gone. It's gone by so fast. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and I'm being joined right now by Clarice Garcia, head women's basketball coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University. We'll be right back after this break.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kinnard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and you know, it's 4:48, and I can't believe how quick the time has gone by. And we only have about 10 minutes left in the program. So what I want to do is I'm gonna throw out a question that was actually sent to us from one of our Twitter followers. Now, if you really are, if you're interested in following Coach Garcia on Twitter, you can do so. And the way you follow her on Twitter is at @HoopsCoachGarcia. You can follow her again. It's at @HoopsCoachGarcia. And you can follow her and some of her tweets and learn more and more about what's happening at the university with her and her team and her program there. And again, it's at Hoops Coach Garcia. You can also follow me at Coach Lovely. You just go to Twitter and you go to at Coach Lovely. Now, the one thing I wanted to get out here is the question that was actually sent to us by one of her followers. The question is, what was your favorite childhood basketball memory? So, Coach, there you go. It's teed up for you.
Thank you. Hey, Steph. I appreciate the question. Steph, the one who asked the question, is actually the girl I went to go see at the Pitt camp and how that whole got me into coaching anyway. But anyway, I would say my favorite childhood basketball memory was when I was in eighth grade. we were we had lost a lot of kids to graduation my seventh grade year. So going into my eighth grade year, the coach called me into the office and said, hey, you know, I don't think we have enough kids to even have a team. And I was about to be devastated. I said, no, this can't be. So I recruited like three of my friends. One of them was a cheerleader. And I just got whoever wanted to play, you know, involved. And so we ended up, I'm not even sure how many we had on the team. It was probably seven or eight, kind of a trend in my life. But anyway, so we went that whole season, and we ended up winning a championship after we weren't even sure if we were going to have a team. So it was just probably it was one of the most amazing experiences, because we just battled that whole year. We had a lot of doubters just say, you know, I can't believe you guys have a team. No one on your team really plays basketball like that. And so we were able to just overcome and win that championship. And I still remember to this day, you know, receiving that trophy and just hugging my coach and my teammates. And it was pretty a surreal experience.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yes.
And thanks for the question, Steph. Now, let's talk a little bit about your roster. You know, you had eight players on your rosters this year. And I know you're out hitting the recruiting road hard and heavy right now and looking at players and evaluating players. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about who's coming back next year for you.
The awesome thing, I have everyone returning. So the culture that we've built with this team and the close-knit nature of this group, they're all coming back, and so they will be able to teach the kids coming in, hey, this is how things are done here, this is not what we do here, this is what we do here, this is what we want, and this is how we're going to get it. So I am thoroughly elated that I have everyone coming back, and I've got two great captains. One's my junior, Liz, and my other one's Ashley, and they are – you're only as good as your leaders on the team, because they're the ones who see the kids even more so than you do. And for them to just take that role and share the vision of the staff and communicate that to the team and hold the team accountable has been crucial. I can leave them in charge of workouts. You know, there have been times when my assistants and I have had to leave practice to go get to high school games to watch kids we're recruiting. We tell them, we're like, hey, do this, 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 and they will get it done for us.
Okay. Now, we're going to wrap the show up here, and I cannot believe how fast this hour seems to go by. We've got about 5-6 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you, you know, what do you think your outlook is for next season based on what you've done this year and your aggressive nature? And let's get a prediction from you.
I am national championship or bust, and there is no reason with seven kids returning and kids who are experienced. All of my kids have been playing between 25 and 35 minutes a game. Some of them have been in the last few games playing 40 minutes a game. So with that experience, I'm on one track path to national championship, but it will be interesting after tomorrow to see, you know, that we've sat down with the kids individually. They've given us their list of team goals. I put that into one master list, and they're going to hash it out tomorrow and figure out where exactly they want this program to go for the next season and for the future. So, you know, that's my goal. I know that they take on the persona of the coach, so I'm praying that that's their goal as well, and that they continue to believe and stay committed to it and improve daily.
Wow. I think that that's a great goal. And, you know, other teams that are on your schedule now, after having battled against you this year, are in a lot of trouble, and I think they already know it. Now, Coach, I know with as fast as you moved up through the ranks, you know, first off, can you give any of the young coaches that are out there any advice?
Yes, absolutely. Always, always, always stay true to who you are. You know, your priority should be faith, family, faith and family, and then friends, and obviously your passions. But don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't do anything, and just adopt the mentality that the world belongs to the aggressor and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that if I have a goal, I'm going to go after it wholeheartedly, and it's just you have to keep going after what you want daily.
And then now, okay, you're a little dynamo. You know, there's just energy coming off of you. I can feel it coming through the phone. You're something else. Now, I know that with the fact that you've moved through the coaching ranks so quickly and got your first head job, I know there have been people in your career that you want to say thank you to, and we talked about this earlier. So I'd love to give you this time right now, next couple minutes, just say thanks to whoever it is you want to say thank you to, and give them some recognition as well.
Sure, absolutely. I've got a list, so hopefully I can get through all of them. I'll kind of go quick. But, you know, first and foremost, I know it's cliche to start with that, but God truly for giving me the ability to pursue my dreams, live my passions, to ultimately fulfill the destiny he has for me. This is his program. I gave it back to him the day I was hired, so I'm just excited to see him continue to reveal his plans for it. Obviously, my parents, they're my role models. My dad has taught me the importance of working hard and never giving up. My mom has shown me the persistence you need and to set high goals for myself. And I attribute my success to their upbringing and teaching me how to incorporate faith, morals, and values into my life. And without such a strong foundation from them, I would not be where I am today. I'm my older sister, Lauren. She's my best friend. She's my life cheerleader. I can count on her for anything. She's always challenging me and encouraging me to be the person God has called me to be and to do the right thing. My family, I come from a very big family. I've got some in Ohio, some out in Colorado. And, you know, in learning how to interact with them and having a close-knit family, it's really enabled me to model our team's family environment after my own personal family, and I love them dearly. I'm thoroughly thankful for my coaching tree, you know, the people with whom I have come into contact through the profession. I've been told I'm a coaching thoroughbred because of my basketball roots. Obviously, my first ever coach, Coach Krause, he's the one under whom I won my first championship in eighth grade. His life challenge to me has always been to leave a legacy, which I absolutely intend on doing. My first high school coach, Coach Krappis, he believed in me as a freshman and started me as a freshman. Harry Peretta, Coach Joe, Shanette, my Villanova teammates and family, for them taking a chance on me. Harry, my head coach, is still a mentor to me, and I actually saw him at the Final Four this year, and he always has great wisdom and advice for me. Coach B, Agnes at Pitt, she's the one that got me into the profession, and she's one of my biggest supporters and constantly gives me confidence I need. Fern Labadie, she's my first mentor and under whom I worked for 2 years at Seton Hill. You know, I talked a lot about her, and she really let me dive in and taught me how to have my own program. Thoroughly indebted to Palm Beach Atlantic and our athletic director, Bob White, for seeing my passion for the game and allowing me to come and move up the coaching ranks so quickly by taking over this program. And he's a great mentor and supporter of me.
All right. Well, you know what? You weren't joking about having a list.
I did. I know.
Anything, I don't think. That's awesome. I think it's great. And I did want to give you that time because, you know what, people who have supported you on this rise to your position, and this is just the beginning. Obviously, after having talked with you several times now and listening to you today, I'm a big fan, and I'm going to follow your career, and I'm glad you were able to join us today, so thank you.
Thank you, and quick shout-out to my magnificent 7 PBA women's basketball team. I love you, ladies, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right, that was Coach Clarice Garcia, head women's basketball coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And you know what? I look forward to seeing you in Vegas, Coach. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the Coach Scott Lovely. I want to thank you for joining us another week on the show. Next week's going to be another great show. Remember, leave it better than you found it. And I want to give a shout-out to my third hour marketing class. Thanks for listening, guys. We're out. Peace.
Thank you.
Game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.